Thank you very much for the introduction and to the organizers for this nice meeting. What I'm going to shortly review here is our recent results, let's say last year results, concerning hyperbolic-like orbits in a two-body system, as we have been already hearing about in the past minutes. And in particular, I will review the results, because there is not much time, on a series of works which I have done in collaboration with Thibaut Damour and Andrea Geralico. So let's try to do this better. Okay, so you have heard about Tutti Frutti has a proper method which is perhaps able to easily capture information coming from other different contexts like post-Newtonian, post-Minkowskian, multipolar post-Minkowskian formalism, self-force, EOB, effective field theory, whatever, and translate into something which is related to the two-body Hamiltonian. We have raised the present knowledge up to the 6 PN level, both for the local part and the non-local part of the Hamiltonian. And the name Tutti Frutti is it will be clear in a moment, in the sense that the approach actually aims at computing three different gauge invariant quantities and use them. The first one is a Delaunay averaging of the Hamiltonian, and this is using elliptic-like motion and allows to fix all the non-local part of the two-body Hamiltonian. The second tool is, let's say, one first-order self-order, one SF, and the gauge invariant quantity computed here in this second step is the redshift, which allows to fix all the local but linear in the symmetric mass ratio part of the Hamiltonian, still dealing with the elliptic-like motion. And the third gauge invariant quantity used is the scattering angle, which allows, because of the special mass structure, which has been elucidated already in previous talks, all the local parts of the Hamiltonian modulo some parameters. These are two up to the 50 PN level of accuracy, and one has to have the four more parameters at the 6 P post-Newtonian level of accuracy. And in this case, what is involved is no more elliptic-like motion, but hyperbolic-like motion. If I would like to summarize the tools which are behind this, I should mention, as Justin already did, the first law of the two-body dynamics, which has been a key tool to convert results from perturbation theory into the Hamiltonian, plus this rule, special rule, concerning the mass structure of the scattering angle. Just for you to have an idea, the first step, let's say Delaunay averaging, has fixed all the EOB coefficient, the potential entering the two-body Hamiltonian for what concerns their non-local part. And you see here very briefly the results. Then using self-force, we could determine all the linear in nu part of the local EOB potential. So there are still several unknowns, which are second order and beyond in the symmetric mass ratio. If you see something in nu square, this is because it belongs to the 4 PN level of accuracy, which was known since 2014. But the number of unknown with the second step is still so high, and then maybe all this effort is almost useless if one is not able to fix or to have more information about the new structure of these coefficients. The role of giving this information is played by the scattering angle. And indeed, at the end of the day, and this is the last technical slide for this context I will show you, is to obtain fully fixed the local part of the EOB potential modulo several unknowns, which are, as I said, six in total, and all of them belong to second order self force or beyond. And so we did all that we could do with the first order self force, because the evaluation of these terms, of all the terms which were needed to reach the sixth PN level of accuracy, was technically rather involved, in the sense that we knew what to do, but doing this was very demanding from the computational times. Okay, and then that was the final result, which we can formulate differently, not looking directly at the EOB Hamiltonian, where all the potential carry condensed information, but looking at the real Hamiltonian. So at 6 PN, with the use of this tutti frutti technology, we were able to determine 147 terms of 151 in total, whereas this number is a bit reduced at 5 PN, but we were able to determine 95 coefficients of 96. So for the moment, the missing term belongs to the realm of second order self force, and this is the next challenge in self force. We have been hearing talks about this in the past days. The situation is summarized here, and maybe you may ask me, why don't you go beyond? In principle, one can go beyond, in principle, but the number of unknowns which remains, if for instance you explore the 7 PN, the 7 PN level, you see here, this straight line here, the white circles number the unknowns, and there are six more unknowns, and then perhaps we are using a high number of parameters, and maybe this is not a very useful effort. But this picture is teaching us something. For instance, we are representing along the y-axis momenta altogether, let's say, and on the x-axis, the inverse radial variable. The inverse radial variable carry a power of g, so each column is PM, and we can see all the black circle as things which are known. So completely determined in PM or in PN, and still what we need to determine. Okay, this is a schematic enough to give us the information for what concerns future programs in this field. So what are the next challenge? The next challenge, usually we say, okay, the non-local part of the Hamiltonian is much simpler than the local one. We can go in this direction, and perhaps we can much easily compute the non-local part of the scattering angle at high orders, next to. And this means we can have information, perhaps incomplete, of course, because this is only the non-local part at high post-Minkowskian orders. Another direction, as we have heard from previous talks, is to compute the radiation reaction contribution to the scattering angle, generalizing what we already did in 2012, and also recently used by Thibault in his 2020 paper. Just a few words in each of these two directions. So one can proceed attempting computation in the time domain. And in the time domain, because of the structure of the non-local part of the Hamiltonian, one faces with integrals to be computed of this kind. There is a singular line and a compact integration domain, but the expression which one needs to deal with are very large. Very large means very long computational times, and I'm afraid that when we will be able to do self-force computation analytically for the scattering angle, we still will see something like this. Also, there is a way in which we proceed in determining this next to leading order correction is an expansion in large eccentricity, which means large J, large angular momentum expansion. So this should be kept in mind. And what to do in this case? In this case, perhaps one has to use a technology which is not really in our backgrounds as a relativistic people. Indeed, we found very helpful the collaboration with Stefano Laporta and Pierpaolo Mastrolia to reach the G7 level of accuracy in the non-local part of the Hamiltonian. So at the beginning, these very large integrals have been evaluated numerically with high precision. Then using fitting routines like PSLQ, we understood the structure of the result, which is involving zeta 3, of course, as we are familiar from previous self-force computation, but other transcendental quantities like the Catalan constant, which, by the way, summing up all the results instead of looking at single intermediate result disappear at the end. But once you have an idea of what can be the final result, then it's also easy, roughly easy, to check it analytically, the consistency of these results. This is what we have been able to do up to the next to leading level, that is order G to the 7 of accuracy. So if you look at this point of view, so time domain computation seems to be easy in principle, but very demanding for computation. Then let's go to the frequency domain. The frequency domain has its own problems and difficulties are preserved. Indeed, the expression now we have to integrate involves the Bessel K functions, but the integration variable appears not only in the argument of these Bessel functions, but also in the order. And this is creating the most important difficulty because we have to expand. And okay, this is what we already did, large eccentricity expansion also in the time domain computation. Okay, we are on the same line. But the problem is that these derivatives, higher order derivatives of the Bessel functions are not well known. Only the first few terms are known. And we took advantage also of other tools like the Mellin transform, you can see at the end of the slide. And I said that are not well known actually in the literature, and the most important paper, the most recent paper is this 2016 paper by Brichkov, and it's limited to the second order derivative of the Bessel function with respect to the order. There are recent attempts to go beyond, but still dealing with these functions, which then involves the Mayer G function, etc., creates a lot of difficulties from the analytic point of view in order to fully evaluate the quantities we need.
We need to question time, Donato.
Yes, I'm finishing. The next challenge is radiation reaction. Radiation reaction in EOB is treated in a way that the radiation reaction force is put outside the conservative Hamiltonian, and there exists something in the sense that in 2012 we could derive an expression for the 2pn scattering angle due in presence of radiation reaction for emission of energy and angular momentum, which involves the knowledge of the conservative part of the same, which is but known for the the level we are. So this can be used at the end, and we are currently trying to extend this relation beyond the level which has been used by Thibault recently at the third post-Minkowskian level. So we received some nice confirmation in the sense that the coefficients we are looking for are partially determined by Bloom line and co-workers, at least for what concerns the pi square part, not for the rational terms which still have to be determined. And conclusion. Yes, we can go beyond and reach the 7pn, but I don't want to do. We can push forward the knowledge of the non-local in time dynamic, studying the next to leading third part of the non-local scattering angle. We are waiting for our colleagues' works, works of Fasturani, Blumline, etc., to complete the 5pn level of accuracy. We would like to see something about the scattering angle directly computed in cell force in the analytic context. There are attempts, but not much literature. Of course, we need information at 4pm from amplitudes people, which include the radiation reaction effects. And we are aware that people like Alessandra Bonanno, Jan Steinhoff, Justin Vines, and co-workers are extending this tutti frutti method also including spin. So thank you for your kind attention.